quickly feedback a couple of thoughts on the questions. If you had a helpful observation in your group to question one, how are we going to be tempted to please others or judge others this year? And how should Mark's gospel help us? A couple of groups give us helpful observations. Let's start at the back. Come on, you're not going to want your groups to do this.
Our desire for things to go well in the next couple of weeks is kind of a mixed. We want to go well for Jesus, but we also would hate to go out to be the one that doesn't go very well. And rather than saying we're in it together and some of us are going to have hard times in this, and that's okay, we don't want to conceal it as a disaster, because we felt this is kind of how well my group goes is a reflection on whether I've made it or not.
Yep. Very helpful. If you're listening on tape, you really should have been here, because that was a really helpful point. Let's move on to the next group. Helpful comment at the back.
Tempted to please our group by watering down what we teach, because we're more worried about them liking us.
Yep. I think that's very helpful, isn't it? Well, I think we're often tempted to please our groups. And we were talking in our group about how often we kind of create hierarchies within our group, either on how what they're like Christian-wise or even social sort of hierarchies. And we sort of pigeonhole people. They're the people I want to please this year. They're the people I don't really care about this year. And we can just begin to pander the study and drive the study to them. Okay, be self-aware. It is a great spiritual gift to be spiritually self-aware and pray like mad for it. Okay. Other comments. How should Mark's gospel help us? Let's jump to this middle group. What did you come up with for that? How should Mark help us this year?
Just seeing the pattern of discipleship and what we're given in chapter 8 to 10, to say where Jesus is going to get death and realise that's got an answer for the Christian as well.
Great. The pattern of discipleship, service and suffering in the here and now, yeah, with our eyes fixed on future glory. Yep.
And as we look at the disciples and how scarily close they are to the religious establishment, and how some of that contains the religious establishment who fear the crowds and fear man rather than helping God.
Yep. Looking at the disciples and seeing how like them we are. Yep. How much we're prone to pander to the crowds and want to please people. Yep. How should Mark's gospel, think of the big storyline of Mark, how should that correct our desire to please others? How is it changing our view of Jesus week by week? How ought it to? Someone in this group? Kyla.
Connected to the fear of man thing, if we know that Jesus is the king and he's the judge, then we'll be concerned for what he wants rather than concerned.
And I think week by week we're having our view of Jesus as the rescuer, the king, the judge ratcheted up, and it ought to be blowing our minds week by week by how great he is. And if we just keep week by week growing in our appreciation for how wonderful Jesus is, so our desire to please people who are far less than Jesus ought to dissipate. As I look at my group and I think, he or she is nothing like Jesus. He is the one I'm longing to please. Okay? So allow yourselves to feed on him in that way. Okay, second question. I think we kind of dealt with the pride one already. Anything else on that, or in what ways we might shy away from being the scum of the world? What about this group down here? Satchi, give us something.
I just said a really helpful point, saying the pride thing, you can get the flip side, which is the I'm really good and I can't do anything, because what it means is I'm going to see their gifts and they think I have them. But that's it's kind of manifestation of the same thing, because it's not trusting that God's the giver of things, it's the gift he wants them to have. Yeah. And so the worries me I'm not good enough can be something to fight in the same way.
Absolutely. And Paul says right at the start of 1 Corinthians, God has given gifts to the church. You know, he's not a cheapskate. He gives all the gifts that are needed to the church. And so we're not to think less of our service than God might think of it. We're to be thrilled that he's equipped us for it and trust him to use it as he will. Yep. Very helpful. Other ways in which we're tempted to shy away from being the scum of the world.
We may not be that open within our groups about the issues we're struggling with.
I was saying to our group that I think that's one of the ways we can liberate that kind of superficial RML culture by actually being really honest ourselves with how this passage has been a real tonic to us this week, or a real challenge to us this week. And that will do more. You'll just suddenly see your group sort of looking up thinking, actually that's true for me, but I wouldn't have dared say it before they said it. Now I feel able to do that. And we're getting beyond the kind of superficial chit-chat that churches like St. Helens can produce. Yep. Other ways, which we're tempted to stop being the scum of the world.
Am I going to tackle this issue that I'm dreading talking to them about, so they're going out with a non-Christian, or they're just not coming each week? Am I going to... They're not doing their prep, am I going to tackle this with them?
And we'll want to do it with all the encouragement and the relational warmth that Paul does, but we'll want to do it. And I think sometimes we stay within our comfort zones and avoid those kind of issues or discussions because actually we don't want to be seen as fools. And we're not prepared to go out of our depth and kind of expose ourselves and make ourselves vulnerable to people. And that Paul is saying that's what service is all about, being prepared to be laughed at. Why don't we pray? Why don't four or five people lead us in prayer where they are? If you need to stand up so others can hear you, do. Let's pray.